Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu salam ala rasulillah. I advise you and myself to be conscious of Allah Almighty, both in private and in public, in times of ease and difficulty. For whoever is conscious of Him shall never fail, and whoever is unmindful of Him shall never succeed. O you who have believed, if you fear Allah, He will grant you a criterion, and will remove from you your misdeeds and forgive you, and Allah is a possessor of great bounty. Peace of mind, a contented soul, and a relaxed heart are lofty demands that hearts yearn for and are sought by every soul not beset by the causes of failure, or the stubbornness of the idle, or the arrogance of the disdainful. As long as a person has a soul in this life, they live according to what has been decreed. Allah wills other than what they will, and decrees other than what they decree. Many of people's aspirations are not met, and sometimes their hopes are turned upside down, snatched from their path either in the middle or the beginning. It is authentically reported by Muslim and others that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He has tasted the sweetness of faith, who is pleased with Allah as his Lord, with Islam as his religion, and with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his messenger." So where are those who truly taste the sweetness of Iman? And among those who taste it, where are those who display the effects of that sweetness in their self, soul, conduct, and manifest it in their entire life? Be aware that there are many carrying medicines that benefit others, but from which they themselves do not benefit. So numerous are such individuals. They are like donkeys in the desert, dying of thirst while carrying water on their backs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There may be those who have knowledge but no understanding, and there may be those who convey knowledge to those who have more understanding of it than they do." Truly, Iman and happiness are not harmed at all if some of their bearers and associates are the first people to abandon them and distance themselves from them. So what about those not having Iman, who are devoid of happiness, tormented by burning anxiety and depression? We live in a lonely age, despite the abundance of companions, filled with every kind of anxiety for those who lack a goal and have a blinded insight. In fairness, we should not diminish this issue, nor should we, out of ignorance or stubbornness, limit the feeling of anxiety to those who are weak or impoverished. How often do we see prominent people in deep anxiety and wealthy individuals in turmoil? And indeed, the anxiety of a very poor person is no less significant than that of a wealthy person. The anxiety spreading among us has many causes that are too many to list. And people have either a few or many of them. But the totality of these causes do not go beyond what we will briefly highlight. The first of them, and even the source of misery, and the core of anxiety is detachment from Allah Almighty. And to the extent that a person falls short in obeying their Lord, the Most High, they exhibit lack of success, clouded judgment, unawareness of the truth, heedlessness in the remembrance of Allah, detachment from their Lord, unanswered supplications, lack of blessing and provision and lifespan, and hardness of the heart. All of these stem from disobeying Allah and distancing oneself from obedience and remembrance of Him Almighty. If Allah takes care of a person and facilitates the paths of obedience and guidance for them, these afflictions will dwindle. But if Allah Almighty forsakes someone and leaves them to themselves, then all such troubles converge upon them, and that is destruction. And we seek refuge in Allah from that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever attaches to something other than Allah will be left to it." Allah the Most High says, "And whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a depressed life, and we will gather him on the day of resurrection blind. He exalted be he," says. So, Whoever Allah wants to guide, He expands His breast to contain Islam. And whoever He wants to misguide, He makes His breast tight and constricted as though He were climbing into the sky. Thus does Allah place defilement upon those who do not believe. And He, glorified be He, says about the jinn, "And when we heard the guidance, we believed in it, and whoever believes in his Lord will not fear deprivation or burden." He Almighty also says, "And whoever turns away from the remembrance of his Lord, he will put into arduous punishment." One of the righteous predecessors said, "How pitiful are the people dedicated to this worldly life. They departed it without tasting the sweetest thing in it." When asked about it, he said, "Knowing Allah and loving Him, longing to meet Him and worshipping Him." Another cause of anxiety is a distorted perception of wealth and its reality. Some people view it as a source of happiness and relief from anxiety. There are many examples of infatuation with wealth, which weakens morals and iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, merchants will be raised on the day of resurrection as wicked people, except for those who fear Allah, behave righteously, and speak truthfully. So there are some among them who disregard the foundations of iman. Their dealings, tradings, interactions are based on self-interest rather than morals and are devoid of purity and compassion for their fellow human beings. They fail to realize that true happiness is not found solely in amassing wealth. By Allah, those truly conscious of Allah are the happy ones, and happiness increases when wealth is in the hands of a righteous believer." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "How excellent is righteous wealth for a righteous man." The third cause of anxiety is worry. Yes, worry in all that the word encompasses, sorrow, stress, and constant distress. Worry can break the mighty and wither vibrant and bright faces. Failing to handle trials and tribulations, well, letting impatience prevail over patience and letting the mind lose balance is a root of worry. Many are wary of the storms that surround them. Though pains and hardships are fertile soil from which the seeds of resilience, character, and courage sprout. Indeed, the greatest talents emerge amidst hardship and intensive struggles. It is related that Urwa ibn Zubair, may Allah be pleased with him, suffered gangrene in his leg, and it was amputated from the knee while he remained silent and did not groan. That very night, one of his sons fell from the roof and died. So Urwa said, "O Allah, to You belongs all praise. I had 7 children, You took one and left me 6. I had 4 limbs, You took one and left me 3. Although You have taken, indeed You have also given. And although You have tested, indeed You have also given relief." Ibrahim ibn Adham once passed by a man burdened with worry and anxiety. He asked him, "I shall ask you about 3 things, answer me. Does anything happen in this universe that Allah does not will? Does anything decrease from your provision that Allah has already decreed for you? Is your lifespan reduced by a moment from what Allah has written?" The man answered, "No." So Ibrahim said, "Then what is there to worry about? How many storms blow over us, filling our horizons with thunderous clouds? How often does a person face what displeases them and disrupts their desires, resulting in worry and psychological turmoil, such that they are beset by the 4 beasts of burden which weaken the body? They are worry, grief, insomnia, and sleeplessness. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah does not send down any disease, but He also sends down the cure. And there are very many effective remedies. Among the most well-known of them is the Qur'an, the words of Allah Almighty, which is a cure for diseases of the heart and body. The textual evidences point to certain verses specifically mentioned for ruqya, such as Surah Al-Fatiha, Ikhlas, and Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, that is the last 2 surahs of the Qur'an. Yet, if a person recites other verses for ruqya, there is no harm. It is known that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon him, would recite the verses that mention tranquility when matters became difficult. Among the potent treatments for anxiety is remembrance of Allah and prayer. Constant remembrance of Allah under all circumstances brings tranquility and dispels anxiety. Allah Almighty said, "Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured." Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, "I heard Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon him, say, the remembrance of Allah to the heart is like water to a fish. So what happens to a fish if it's taken out of the water? Is there any counsel greater and more beneficial in such a situation than the counsel that Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we already know that your breast is constrained by what they say. So exalt Allah with praise of your Lord and be those who prostrate. And worship your Lord until there comes to you the certainty. It is authentically reported that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was distressed or troubled by something, he would hasten to prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And the delight of my eyes has been placed in prayer. May Allah Almighty make us among those who are mindful of Him, who remember Him frequently, and who find tranquility in His nearness. Indeed, Allah is all hearing, answering." هذا والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.